Ladies and gentlemen, world, what is going on? My name is Justin. This is Sports Sales and Coffee, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy day and allowing me to enter your ear holes and tickle that beautiful brain of yours with a little bit of information, a little bit of knowledge, and even some motivation that will hopefully help you reach and exceed your sales goal so you can dominate. I say that every episode because it's damn true. I want you to kill it. I want you to be the alpha, the monster. I want you to bring in big commission checks, and I want you to get brand new, fresh agreements. I want you to renew your clients. I want you to be unstoppable. I just want you to be a force in this industry, whatever industry you're in, especially the sports industry. I want you to be an absolute force. This is not me saying it because I want you to feel like that. No, I'm saying it because I believe it, and I want you to do well, and I want, if I can be a small little blip in your progression, that's all I want. And I'm just, if I can help you in any way, and if you're enjoying what you're listening to, and you've been able to take some nuggets of information, and you've been able to kind of put it into your own process, I would love to hear about it. Slide into my DMs at Sports Sales Coffee on Instagram, Facebook, and on TikTok, at SSC_podcast on Twitter, Sports Sales and Coffee on LinkedIn, or if you want to hit me up, slide into my DMs, or if you want to hit me up on email, sportssalescoffee@gmail.com. I will get back to you. Let me know your thoughts, your feelings, if you have any questions, or you want to chop it up, or if you have an idea for an episode, I'd love to hear about it, and I'd love to, make that happen for you, because the support that you've shown me over these 2 years, whether this is the first time you're listening or this is the 95th time you're listening, it has meant the absolute world to me how you've told your coworkers, your friends, your families about the podcast, people in different industries, and it floors me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means so much that you're enjoying it and then you're sharing it, and that's just, to me, that's awesome. I mean, the podcast, it's still small, but it's grown more than I've ever thought it would. So it just keep on going, and that's just, it's all because of you, and I thank you for that. I really, really thank you from the bottom of my heart on that. And during this time, during this pandemic, these last almost 9 weeks has been crazy, and I just feel very lucky that I can be some content that you've turned to hopefully normalize during the situation, or be able to put your feelings into words and know that you're not on an island and you're the only one thinking this way, but that we're a community and we all think this way, being in the sports industry and what's going to happen and pushing and thoughts and ideas. And I just feel so, I'm kind of lost for words because I just feel so blessed to be it, to be this and for you to listen. So thank you so much. As things start trending to get back to normal, I know businesses are starting to open up. I know I'm going to be back in the office as a limited basis starting next week. You know, I just have to be with the, with my kids in school, or, my fiance working, not in school, but my fiance still working. I need to be home because it's frowned upon to leave your 6-year-old to watch your 3-year-old. I guess it's frowned upon. It might be even illegal. You just can't do that, I guess, because he's not allowed to use the toaster, I guess, because he might burn down the house. So I'll be home, but I'll be back in the office, which I'm looking forward to, because I'm looking forward to get a little normalcy. I will miss all the time at home, because I felt, again, the silver lining. It's been great. I've been able to bond with my kids a little bit more. I've been able to do things that I usually don't. I was able, usually April and May are just such a cluster for me because so many games and moving around, but being home and spending family time, having dinner together has been phenomenal, has been really, really good. So it's awesome. But back to the office, making calls, making some, you know, setting some things up, maybe trying to work on trying to get some renewals and build, start trying to set the foundation for 2021. And I know that's going to be a slow process, but Rome wasn't built in a day. I want to move at the speed of a glacier. I know I've said that before. I kind of stole that, but I really love it. Move at the speed of the glacier. They don't move fast, but when they take over an area, they keep that area. They stay in that area. And that's what you want to do with your prospects. You want to slowly move in and then just stay. And just stay there and make sure that you're always in their budget and that they're always going to hit you up. And it's tough to do, but you want to make that customer for life. So if you're looking for the long game, that's what's huge, and that's what I'm going to try to play. I'm going to try to play that long game tremendously to make sure that I'm in that conversation. And I'm rolling and I'm getting that way. But what I want to talk about today is, I know I've talked about it a bunch, but I don't think I've ever given a big outlook over it of the sales process, or what I consider the sales process and how I go about it. And I wanted to kind of give an overview. I know I've done episodes about them individually, but I'm not really sure of where it stands in your mind as a whole. So I really want to take the time and just kind of do a overview of everything, maybe talk about, you know, this and that, but just because I don't know if everyone's sales process is different, but my belief is, whether you're selling sponsorship groups or if you're selling just individual tickets, or even if you're not even selling in the sports area, if you're selling a different industry, I believe the sales process is a framework, is a foundation, and what we change is that we change, you know, maybe the questions, we change obviously our products, our experiences, we might change a little bit of the flow of how we would open or how we would, you know, do this and that, but at the end of the day, I believe the framework is the same, and I think it's just what I've used is my sales process, and I've found success with it in some different industries, and I think it's just, it's huge. So I want to kind of go over things as a whole. So, because I know I reference the sales process a lot, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. And if you're new, or if you're, you know, you're seasoned vet, or if you have a different sales process, that's okay. But I think we all kind of can understand the framework and the process of kind of what it is as a whole. So I just want to kind of give an overview of the sales process itself. So first thing is first, cold calling. Cold calling is number one. You have to start there. I don't care what industry you're in. You have to start at cold calling, because if you don't start at cold calling, then how the hell are you? I mean, unless you get a call in, but come on, cold calling. We're salespeople, not order. We're not order takers. We're cold calling. So the first one is cold calling, and I think the first step in cold calling is setting realistic goals. I mean, your goal is not to sell the business on that first call. In my mind, your main goal is to set a meeting. Sales is a numbers game. The more cold calls you make, the more appointments you set, the more businesses you sell. It's very, very easy. It's a numbers game. So your goal for me is not to be like, every time I call this big account, this big group, this big, you know, season ticket holder, is not to close. It's not to close. It's to set a meeting. And my meeting is what I consider is, you know, is a time that we can budget together, whether it be 10, 15 minutes at a later date, sometimes even right then. But I always try to set that meeting because I want them to give me their undivided attention. I want to be on their Outlook calendar. I want to know that they're going to talk to Justin on Tuesday at 9:30. Like, that's what I want, so I get their undivided attention. I don't get the, yeah, I can talk right now. And then they're, you know, taking notes in the air because they're just trying to, you know, to please me, and then never take me seriously. If you don't take me seriously, don't tell me no. Like, I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time by talking to you something about that you're not interested. And also, if they do set a meeting, it shows that they're at least somewhat interested. You know what I mean? You're not going to close them. You know, you're not going to close them all, but they're at least somewhat interested because they're taking time out of their day to talk to you. So that's what I like to do, setting realistic goals. Next thing in cold calling is do a little research. Don't go in absolutely blind. This is also another reason why I like to set a meeting, because you want to do a little bit of of research. You want to get some basic knowledge about the business so you can really talk about their wants and their needs. And that's business or groups in or season ticket holders. Do a little bit of research when you can to see kind of what they do. Maybe they work for this company and they like to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. But do that. Find out a little information before you go into the call. If you're calling a little league, find out, you know, what towns they might pull from or how they did, you know, in the past. Is how their all-star. Do they care about their all-stars or do they not care about their all-stars? Do you have an idea of how many kids are in the league, kind of where they play? Like, figure that out because that helps you kind of make it more into a conversation rather than just a sales call. The next thing in cold calling is voicemail, because you're in sales, so guess what? We leave a lot of voicemails. You know that. I'm not breaking any glass here. I'm not telling you something you don't know. But you want to leave a voicemail. And I think voicemails are very important. And what you want to do is, in my mind, is you don't want to leave a long voicemail. You want to leave just a quick hitter. It's like an appetizer. You want to get them excited so they're going to call you back. If you make your sales pitch on your voicemail, what are you doing? Like, you're not giving them a reason to call you back. You're not giving them a reason to pick up the phone the next week or the next time you call them, because you've already shown your hands. You know, I like to introduce myself. I like to let them know why I'm calling. Am I trying to set you up as a group? Am I trying to get marketing and sponsorship out of you? What am I trying to do? You know, and then after that, I like to try to, you know, go back to research. You know, if I have the decision maker's name, the person, I have to try to find that email and then follow up with an email and say, hey, I just left you a message, hoping to set up a time, love to talk to you about blah, blah, blah. And I think that's kind of the way to go. The next in the cold calling, the introduction. You want to get past that gatekeeper as fast as possible. The gatekeeper is not your friend. The gatekeeper is your enemy. The gatekeeper can also be your ally, so you want to be nice and polite, but they're not your friend. They cannot make a decision. They cannot say yes. They can only tell you no. They can help you, give you information, like they can give you the email address, or they can give you the name, or they can direct you, but they can't tell you yes. The decision maker can. So you want to try to get past the gatekeeper as fast as possible. You can just call up, and if you know the decision maker because your research is John Smith, hey, John Smith, please. Bam. Sometimes that works. A quick little jump out. Not, hey, my name's Justin, and I'm calling with blah, 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 blah. No, hey, John Smith, please. Do you know why you're calling? Oh, no, he should know. Like, make it a friendly. You can jump past him. A lot of people will. Now, some gatekeepers are great because that's one of their job descriptions is to like, not let the salespeople talk to the decision maker. So you got to make sure that you might have to be on your A game. You know what I mean? And each cold call is different, but the goal remains the same. The goal is to set the meeting. So you want to get past this gatekeeper, find out information, and then get to that decision maker as fast as possible. You know what I mean? Then when you get the decision maker on the phone, you're able to get them out there. You get John Smith on the phone. Your goal, for me, set that meeting. Like I said before, set that meeting and go for it. Give them a little quick, you know, pitch. Introduce who you are, the reason why you're calling, and then ask for the meeting. Ask for the meeting. You're not asking for a close. You're asking for the meeting. And when I set meetings, and how I was trained to set meetings, is when you're talking to that decision maker, give them two options. Give them a morning time and an afternoon time on different days. So how does Monday, January 2nd at 9 a.m. or how about Tuesday the 3rd at 2 p.m.? How does that look in your schedule? What one of those works for you? That's what you want. You want to get them to a time. And by giving them two times on two different days, on, you know, morning and afternoon, it's going to increase your time of that they can say, oh, I'm not busy. Oh, those don't work for me. And if they do say, oh, those don't work for me, oh, what time works for you? And then give them another two dates, maybe Thursday at 11 or maybe Friday at 1. Like, give them more dates so they lock it in. Also, don't accept the call me next week or call me on Tuesday. That's not a viable meeting. make them commit to a time. If they say, call me Tuesday, you respond with, okay, I'm going to call you at 10 a.m. You know, does that work for you? What's your email? I want to send you a meeting invitation. And then when you're done with that, when they agree to the meeting, repeat the day and the time back, get their email, send them a meeting invitation. You want that to be on their Outlook. You want that to be that they collect accept. So in 15 minutes before their meeting, it's going to pop up. And when it pops up, they're either going to say, oh yeah, I got that meeting with Justin, or no, I can't do that. And they hopefully give you a courtesy call back or an email saying, I can't do it. Let's reschedule this and that. You know what I mean? So that's the goal of the cold call, is those are the steps. Those are the steps in my mind. It's every cold call, I know my goal. I know my realistic goal. It's not to sell them. It's not to get a $50,000 account on one call. It's to try to get to the decision maker and set a meeting. I want to do a little research about them before I call. And that could be a quick 5-minute Google search. Take a little bit of time. Take a little bit of time. If I get a voicemail, make it into a little appetizer. Wet their whistle so they want to call you back. Give them that reason why they want to call you back. And don't give out too much information. So when you call again, it's like, no, we already know what he's pitching. I don't want to talk to Justin. I don't need to talk to him. Like, give him just a little bit so he wants to. He wants to. If you get to, when you get the gatekeeper, get past them as soon as possible. Knock out your intro. Have your script in your head so you can roll with it. You can just fire it right off, that you're not reading it. You're just firing it off. Get right through. When you get to the decision maker, same thing. Give that intro and then go for that meeting. Tell them why you're calling and go for that meeting. Because you want, and then give them 2 times. Make sure you kind of lock that down and just don't accept the call me next week or call me on Tuesday, call me on Wednesday as a viable meeting, because it's not. That's an F you, get off me. Like, not trying to deal with you right now. Make them commit to a time. If they don't want to commit to a time and they tell you they're not interested, then that's also a win, because then you're not going to be wasting your time on this person. You're not going to be wasting your time trying to hunt down these people that don't want to talk to you. So take that as a win as well. Now, you've done that. Congratulations. You've got a meeting. That's a win. Good for you. That's a little victory. You've been able to get a meeting. You're able to talk to these people. That is awesome. Now, the first step of the meeting is always that awkward kind of intro, this and that. So I like to try to build rapport. But not the rapport like, hey, did you see, Extraction on Netflix last weekend? Like, it's almost the new John Wick. Like, nobody cares about that. I like to try to build strategic rapport. But first and foremost, I want to be myself. If I'm funny, be funny. If I'm awkward, be awkward. But if I'm not being myself, I'm going to come off as fake, and then no one's going to want to purchase something from me. If you come off as someone that you're not, you give a very slimy, sleazy, you give off that, and if you do, no one's going to buy from you. No one's going to buy from you. So you want to build rapport. Ask about their business. Talk about what you like. What are they doing? What do they see in 5 years? What can you possibly do to help them grow? Are they trying to get out the name of their new product? Or are they trying to build a better, community feel in their business or in their group that they want to do stuff together? But ask about it and just build that rapport and talk about what's good for their business or their group or their person, of what they're trying to maybe accomplish. Then after you kind of feel like you've built rapport and you have a good back and forth with them, then that's when you want to kind of start trying to find pain. You want to start asking questions, and you want to make this more into a conversation rather than you just checking, a line, checking a box on like your to-do sheet. You want to make this a conversation. You want to be talking to them. And if you go off on a little side road, go down that side road, then pull right back. If you want to make this a conversation, and you want to be genuine. You want to ask questions that you mean, and listen to them. Don't just wait until it's your time to talk. Listen to what they're saying. And when you do that, you're going to be able to find out what their likes and their dislikes are. And you're going to be able to, get these little nuggets of information that you can bring back up later. So ask them questions. What are you currently doing for marketing? What do you like about attending a sporting event or a show? What do you notice? That's my favorite question. What do you notice when you go to the ballpark? Or why do you like going to the ballpark? And you can ask that to groups, and you can also ask that to sponsors, because it's going to tell you some information on what they like, and then you can push on that later. You can push on that later. If they say, "Oh, I love going to the ball game because it's just a great community feel." Great. Don't you want that with your church group, all together rooting for the same team, being there, being live, cheering and smiling, having a hot dog? Like, put them in that shoes, and they already said they like it. Push on that more. They say, "Oh, I love the message on the video board when it comes up." Great, we can do that. This is what we can do. Bing, bang, boom. Like, you want to ask them that question. Ask what grabs their attention. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, too, as I've always said this, is in the sports category, we're a want. We're not a need. Nobody needs our product. Nobody needs to come to the ballpark or the stadium. It's a want. They want to. So if we can find pain and we can ask questions, we can get them emotionally involved in this, it's going to be better for us in the long run. It's going to be better. So after you ask these questions and you find pain, now it's kind of talk about price. You're going to be kind of presenting. No, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's more about the price. You want to come out and ask them what your budget is. What price do you feel comfortable in spending? And again, this falls through every single one, whether it be groups, marketing, or season tickets. Because I know everyone has a different tier of different opportunities and different products that they can pitch. So you want to ask them. You want to ask, what would you feel comfortable spending? And my thing is, I ask that. It's always a kind of an awkward question, especially for me. I say, what do you feel comfortable spending? And then can I say, because I don't want to oversell you, or I don't want to undersell you. I want to find the perfect fit for you that you're comfortable with. And when you approach it like that, they kind of take it off. Like, dude, I want to tell you it's $10,000 when you only feel comfortable spending two. I'll give you something around two and three. Like, that's okay. But I don't want to overprice myself and you know, give you something that comes out of left field. No pun intended. I don't want to do that. So I want to help you out. You know what I mean? And then when you do talk about price, it's something that I've struggled with, is you don't want to sell with your wallet. That money is not yours. What might be a lot of money to you might not be a lot of money to them. What might be little money to you might be a lot of money to them. So don't put your preconceived opinions on money into the conversation. You can offer ideas, you can offer solutions, and then let them tell you yay or nay. That's too high, that's too low. You know, after talk about price, then that's when you want to make that pitch. And this is the fun part. This is the fun part of the whole meeting. Because if you've done the steps, if you ask questions, you found pain, you should have in your head the perfect fit for them of what you believe. Of what you believe is the perfect fit. Now, you might pitch it and they might be like, oh, yeah, no, I hate that. Okay, then let's pivot and get back to a different spot. But this is the fun part, because you're presenting opportunities that fit their needs and want. You know what I mean? Use the pain of what you found and the questions that they answered into bringing up the pitch and what this may be great. After you make that pitch too, I think a great sales technique is to be silent and be quiet and let them process the information that you just gave them. If you tell them, hey, it's $5,000, and then you continue to keep talking, they might not be able to process that, and the $5,000 might be too much for them. You know what I mean? Or it might be, you know, they don't understand the value because you don't let them process. After you present the proposal, you give them the pitch and you give them the price, shut your face and just sit there. Let them process it. Then after you make the pitch, you're probably gonna overcome objectives. They're gonna tell you it's, you know, why they can't do it. And when they do, let them tell you. And listen to the objective before handling it. Don't interrupt. Don't interrupt to respond quickly. Listen to what they're saying. Then when you do come over to overcome that, summarize and repeat it back to them. You know what I mean? Just say, you know, I just want to make sure this is, you say it's too expensive because the ROI, the ROI is not there. But you also do this with the paper where you can't find the ROI. Like, I want to make sure that I'm answering the right question. And sometimes that's a terrible example, an absolute terrible example. But when you summarize their objective and you repeat it back to them at times, they realize it might not be a big deal as they originally thought. You know what I mean? And also, by summarizing it, you want to explore the reason of why it's an objective. Sometimes, the reason isn't how they ask the question. It's an underlying belief or something that they're, you know, it's something deeper. So you want to go into that. You want to figure that out. And by doing that, it's by summarizing and asking questions and making sure you come back. Then you want to answer their objective. You want to figure it out. You want to find the best way you can answer it. And you want to overcome that. How I like to do this is by storytelling. I like to make sure that I'm referencing another account that had a very similar, you know, objective that we were able to overcome and find a great, you know, middle ground and start a partnership. And how I like to do that is how I was told and how I was trained is the feel, felt, found approach. I think it is absolutely brilliant. It puts the prospect into their shoes, and it's great. So how the feel, felt, found works is exactly this. I understand how you feel, XYZ company. I understand how you feel. ABC company felt the same way when we spoke. But what we found is by doing X, you kind of give the example, they were able to accomplish Y. So you're putting them in the perspective of something else who had that. You know what I mean? So let's talk about if it is a season ticket holder and they're like, you know, that's a lot of games. I don't feel like I can make all, I don't think I can make all 80. I don't believe I can make all 40. I don't think I can make all 40 games. I understand how you feel, Mr. Smith. The Phillips family felt the exact same way. What they found is they were able to use all those tickets, not for them, but for family, friends. They were able to give it to auctions. They were able to help raise money on the Little League board. And they're also able to resell them. So, in effect, they actually found a use for all those tickets. You know, that objective isn't necessarily that it's too much, that it's, I don't think I can come to all these games, so I'm going to feel like it's a waste. Well, blah, 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 blah. It's not a waste because you're using the tickets for someone else and you feel good about yourself. So you want to overcome these objectives, but you just want to take your time with them. You don't want to just jump right out. And then last, I think everyone's favorite part is the close. Is when they say, yeah, let's do this. When you ask for that sale, and you have to ask for the sale, a lot of people don't ask for the sale, and you can ask. It's okay to ask. You want to ask. Are we doing this? Should we go? Should I send over the agreement? Like, what's the deal? And when they say yes, and when you're closing this deal, I don't care what you have going on in your day. That is the most important thing, is when they tell you yes. When the prospect gives you the verbal agreement and they want to move forward, that is your absolute top priority. Number one. Not 1B, not 1A, 1. Stop what you're doing and get them the agreement as fast as possible. Don't try to say, oh, I'll send it to you at 4 o'clock today because I got to finish XYZ. No. You send them the agreement. Because how I feel, especially with, you know, if a rep or if I'm talking to my GM and he's like, well, why weren't you down here? But, yo, this guy said he was in. I wrote him up the agreement and I sent it to him. It's that trumps everything because that's money into the business. That is your number one job, is to sell business for your team and to sell for your team. And when you can, do it. You know what I mean? So, and then also, if I make the phone, if it's the phone before I leave, what I also like to do too is I like to summarize everything. I like to make sure we're all on the same page. So I summarize all the elements of the partnership. So if it's tickets, it's yeah. So just to clarify, you know, I just want to make sure, because I'm going to send you the agreement, that we're doing 4 tickets in section 102, row B, seats 1 through 4, right? Perfect. We're doing this on July 24th for your group. Awesome. Just to confirm, we're going to do a sign, blah, blah, blah. You want to summarize so when they get the agreement, and don't call it a contract, when they get the agreement, we're all on the same page and we're ready to roll. So that's my, you know, and that's it. And then bam, you made a sale, you feel great, you got the endorphins popping, And then guess what? You're back on the phones because you're trying to chase that feeling again. So to summarize the meeting, kind of last minute of how I go in the sales process, is building rapport, and then it's finding pain and asking questions, and then it's talking about price, and then it's making the pitch, overcoming objectives, and then you're closing. That's what I got. That's my sales process. And that's what I feel is, doesn't matter what you're selling, as long as you have this foundation and you have the framework, you can fit in what you need. It's just an overview of everything, of each step. And when you have that in my head, and what I feel what helps me is when I have that in my head, it kind of centers me. I kind of understand where I am in the process. Now, you might not have, this process might not all happen in one meeting. This sales process might not happen, you know, in the first time you guys sit down and talk. You might overcome objectives, and then you have to kind of go back, and then when you come back, you kind of start again a little bit. You know, you might not close on your first meeting. You might only get through, I don't know. I mean, you might only get through the asking questions and finding pain, and then you have to go back, and you got to kind of, you know, and then you talk about price, but then you're going to go back and you're going to kind of create a pitch, and then the pitch is going to happen at a different meeting, and you might pitch two or three times, and you got to find that. So it doesn't have to happen all at once, but this is the process I use, so I know where they are in my sales, not my funnel, but I know where they are. Yeah, in my sales funnel, like what position they are. Are they probable? Are they questionable? Are they doubtful? Like, I understand kind of where they're coming from and where they sit and who might need to get pushed on a little bit more. I know that if I pitch someone and I have a proposal in their hands, I might put a little more pressure on them because they're the farthest in my funnel, and they're the closest to me closing. So they're top priority. Like, I can understand where they are. Someone who I maybe not have set a meeting with yet might be a little bit farther down because we haven't had that chat. So, you know, it isn't that. If I have a meeting with you, you're a little bit in the middle and blah, 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 blah. But I know where you are, and I kind of can, you know, I can, you know, I can have a better idea of who might come in next month or who I have an opportunity with and who can I, you know, get aggressive with, and who am I not going to get so aggressive with, because I understand kind of where they are. So that's the sales process in a nutshell. That's an overview of kind of everything. And I know I've done multiple sales topics, questions in the podcast, and I've kind of taken these out and done individual episodes, but I really wanted to have one, you know, podcast where I break down everything on the sales process. And now that I look at the time, it's over 30 minutes, but what do you expect? I get on a ramble, I move around and everything like that. So I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions or anything like that, or just chop it up, slide into my DMs. Let's be friends on on Instagram and all that. So on Instagram, Facebook, and on TikTok, it's at Sports Sales Coffee. On Twitter, it's at @SSC_podcast. On LinkedIn, Sports Sales and Coffee on LinkedIn. And then, or if you want to send me an email, sportssalescoffee@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you want me to elaborate on anything we kind of talked about, or just to chop it up, let me know. Like, subscribe, and comment. And I'm not going to go on too much longer, just because it is almost like 30. It's at 33, but with the intro and everything, is probably about almost 35. So I appreciate you rocking with me. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. And we're going to get through this. We're going to get back to sales, and it's going to be phenomenal. So thank you so much. If you have the opportunity, and we're getting back to normal, and you will have the opportunity, go sell something. Plan for 2021 and make that the best possible season of your life. And if you have an opportunity to sell for 2020, bust ass and go after it. Get it. I believe in you. I know you can do it. It's just get it in your mind that you're the best person for the job. And if you have to listen to the Any Given Sunday, about the speech, the inches speech before you make cold calls, and do it. That's what I had to do sometimes to get myself pumped up before I go into a meeting or some scenes from Boiler Room, just to kind of get in my head that you a bad dude and you're going after it. Bad dude, bad dudette, and just you're getting after it. So I appreciate the hell out of you. Thank you so much. Go sell something. Peace.